We'll teach them a thing after that. Okay, we've got up to the very first word of the daf we're supposed to be doing today for a change. And so we're holding on daf Zayin. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. We're going to have a lot of ma'amorim over here. From Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. How do we know that God prays? The Maisa, till this point, we've spoken about the tefillin Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, if we analyze a little bit more clearly what's happening here in the Gemara, after the sugya of Yisurin that was generated by Kriyat Shema Lamita, and the brief sugya of Mazikin, which also came from Kriyat Shema Lamita, we went to discuss what appeared on the surface to be a question of Makom Tefillah. So Makom Tefillah had to do with the Kumbakom Rina, Shantei Tefillah, the ideas of Kovea Makom Letefilato, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shoyol Olam, the importance of Makom that we learn out from Avram Avinu. But in the broader sense, the concept of Makom Shel Tefillah also includes the Tefillin. Tefillin are called Bayit. They're called, so in other words, there's a relationship specifically, so we don't put these two sugyas together. We have Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin, and we have Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. The first part of the sugya is connected to the concept of Mokom Letefillah, and yesterday's Gemara ended with the idea of leaving the Mokom HaTefillah, and this causes Shechina to be mistalekit in Yisrael. Now the truth is that that's a segue into a new sugya that is actually is subsumed to some extent within the previous sugya. Because really, we've been talking about Kriyat Shema without talking about God. It's sort of strange. There has been no presence of the Lord in our Masechet, really. We're talking about David HaMelech and his Shirot, the Tishbachot, and the way that people speak, and so on and so forth. The question is, Tefillah ultimately, in Kriyat Shema ultimately, defines a relationship between man and God. And obviously this is what the whole Seder is about, because it's called Emunah. And so we get here at last, that was triggered by the words of the Goremet L'Shkinah Shetistalek in Israel, we have now the idea, the chlal of the way in which the Shechina is mitdabeket l'Yisrael, is concerned with Israel, the concept bichlal of Hanhagat Hashem, and how that ties into a concept called Shechina. So there's a lot of elements on this daf that are exceedingly Kabbalistic, don't even make an attempt to conceal themselves, but on the other hand, they don't make any attempt to explain themselves. So. But the purpose of all of this is clear. In other words, we're coming to establish what that idea is of Hanhagat Hashem Ba'olam, which gives birth to the concept of Shechina. Omre B'yesh Rebbe Chanina. Oops, what did I do here? Omre B'yoch Mishu B'yosi. Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. Shenemra V'haviyotim El Har Kodshi V'simachtim B'beit Tefilati. Notice the smoothness of the segue. Because yesterday we were talking about the concept of Mokom Tefillah. Now suddenly we discover that the Mokom Tefillah, which we related to in terms of ourselves, this is the place in which we pray, comes like the Gemara to say, this is the place in which it's Makom Beit Tfilati. Doesn't say Beit Tfilatam. Doesn't call the Beit HaMikdash a place where Klal Yisrael will pray. Talks about it as a place where Beit Tfilati. Kilo, I will pray. Mikan Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitpalel. From this it's clear that there must be a concept of Tfilah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. My Matzli, what would he pray? What does Tfilot consist of? Om Rav Zuter Bar Tuvi Amarav, Yehi Ratzon Milafanai, Sheyechbeshu Rachamai Et Kasi, Viagulu Rachamai Amidotai Vetnai V'im Banai B'midat Rachamim, Ve'ekanes Lom Lifni Mishurat Adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tvila is that may it be my will that I should conquer Midat Adin and go Lifni Mishurat Adin to be able to give the Tova that I wish to give to my children. Tanya Omer Yishmael ben Elisha, remember Yishmael ben Elisha was Kohen Gadol, who was from the Asarahu Rugei Malchut. And he says that, Pa'am achat nichnasti laktir ktoret lifnai v'lifnim. I once went into the Beit HaMikdash in Yom HaKippurim, lifnai v'lifnim, V'ra'iti, now the following are shemot that refer to various elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're clearly not the names of malachim or of a malach, the way some of Farshim. Come, please, calmly. Thank you. They're not the names of malachim, because since this is talking about the time of the Keteret on Yom HaKippurim, it can't possibly be referring to a malach, because it is prohibited for a malach to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says, Kol Adam, there is anything that has even a shame of relating to the idea of Adam, like malachim are called Ishim and so on, cannot come in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time. So it's therefore a reference to various Shemos Hashem, the Marsha talks about, which means we're talking about over the meat of Keter, the olive of the Shem for Keter is a reference to Ein Sof and so on. But in any event, I sense a yeshiva kisei ram v'nisa, v'amar li Yishmael b'ni borchein. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to give him a bracha. Amarti lo yiratzon milfanecha, so I told him essentially the bracha that we just said, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own tefillah. May it be your will that you should be mizgaber with midas rachamim on your anger. V'yagulu rachamecha amidotecha v'titnaig manecha v'minat rachamim v'tikanes v'metnim b'shirat adin. So that you should be able to use the keyach of rachamim, and that should be mizgaber over the din. V'nanali b'rosho, and he nodded his head at me as if to indicate that's an excellent, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. V'kamash malan, the sipur of this story by Yishmael ben Elisha, teaches us, shlote birchat hediot kala b'enecha, don't think that just because you're only a human being, you don't have what to say in terms of giving a bracha. V'om Rav Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yosi, minayin she'en meratzim lo la'adam b'sha'at ka'aso. How do we know that it's inappropriate to attempt to cool somebody down at a time when he's really angry? Because God tells Moshe Rabbeinu the strangest thing. That, like, essentially what he's saying is, okay, look, if I get over being mad, then we'll talk about it. So, I mean, if you can talk about it, so why not talk about it now? You're obviously able to talk about what I will do after I calm down. So why not just calm down? Right, so you see that it's inappropriate to discuss calming down at the time which is roly for kas. So it's an inappropriate hanhoga. Don't ask me now for something which I should give to you only at a time that I'm calm. Wait a minute. Mihika ritcha kamina kuchu brichu? Does that make sense? You're talking about bishaat kaso. Now obviously when Gemara says, and is there anger in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It can't possibly mean that question, since there's hundreds of psukim that refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and charonav, and kas. I mean, it would be a rather absurd question. So the question over here is that we're talking about sha'at ka'aso. In other words, we are understanding the comment to Moshe, that the comment itself is made in calm analysis of the situation. This is a time at which I'm angry. So therefore, let's talk about it later. Right, so you're telling me, in other words, there's a time in which you're angry. I mean, either you're angry or you're not angry. If you're angry, so then you should have responded angrily. And if you're not angry, why can't we talk about it now? So the issue is sha'at ka'aso. Right, that's the point. Is there a hanhaga, particularly of ka'as, in which it has nothing to do directly with the way that I'm responding to this situation? That's the problem. So is there such a thing? Says the Gemara, there is indeed. There is a kvi'ut of a concept called kas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's not particularly responsive to a stimulus, so to speak, of kas. It's part of the hanhogas Hashem. The Tanya ve'el zo'im b'chol yom. So the Pasuk says that God is angry every day. Now that means that there's a hanhoga of such. V'kama zamo, how long is that anger? Rega, one instant. V'kama rega, now, it's a little bit strange because the amount of the rega, says the Gemara, is echad mechameshet ribu v'shmonet alaf v'shmonet meyot v'shmonim shmona v'shmona b'sha'a. Because it's 158,888 parts of an hour. So by the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told Moshe, wait till my anger passes, then we'll discuss it, it was way after that time. So what in the world is that supposed to mean? Therefore, the Mefarshim say that there it must be a sha'at kaso. In other words, there is a sha'at that is kavua around that rega. That rega is like the height of particular kaso, which we'll see that Bilam was capable of destroying the world with. But there's certainly a time that surrounds it, and that answers Tosis's question as well later on, which I'll tell you is in a few moments when we get there.
Where does the number come from?
Good question. As I said earlier, you weren't present. As I said earlier, the concept of this entire daf relates to the Anhagas Hashem Ba'olam and is reached by recognizing that having a Beit Tvila, which was the topic of yesterday's Gemara, actually means a Beit Tvila HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in essence, the world is a place in which God can pray. The world is a place in which God can pray. Now that talks about a general hanhaga of an interrelationship between the Midas HaShemayim and the world. And I pointed out that the things that are discussed on the daf have very little handle to be understood simply and actually openly discuss things like Shemais and so on, which are not mentioned generally in Shas. Those are the kind of things you'll find in the Tikkuni Zohar and so on. However, we'll see that this page is miyuchad for names in general, the kind of power of naming, and therefore it actually discusses these names. This we'll get to in Amid Beis. But there's a whole pattern of what's happening here, and obviously the idea of name is fundamental to the idea of hanhaga, because a name is a perception of what a thing is in terms of its interrelationship with the reality that I perceive. When I give it a name, I'm creating here a construct to define what that thing is to me, and all I see in the thing is the way it acts. I don't see anything else. If I give you a name, I don't perceive you really in any way. I simply see the interface between myself and you. So the name is an interface that affects now the way the world is, and these are the Shemot that we're talking about over here in terms of the Shemot Hashem. As far as this particular amount of time, that's also one of those issues which has to do with understanding the nature of Rega itself. Now, in kol biryaya cholal chaveno tasha, the thing is that nobody can actually determine when that instant is, because the whole idea of it is randomness. So in having a random moment of anger, which is the source of randomness in the world, which is central to understanding the way the world is, in other words, if we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manig the yelam, how come the world is so random? I mean, obviously, it makes no difference what you do. You can win, because whatever it is, it'll always be an excuse. You know, if you're a great guy and then something horrible happens to you, it's because some kind of kapora and because you're supposed to get your schar in the shemayim. If you're an awful guy and something great happens to you, you always have, there's also a reason for that. There's always reasons for everything. For all intents and purposes, if you measure the response from Hashemayim to someone who does good and someone who does bad, it doesn't make any difference at all. So it's completely random. So that randomness, where does it come from in the world? Says the Gemara, the randomness, the source of randomness, is actually this hanhaga of rega, in which there just seems to be a for no reason response that the world isn't worth anything. Now the only one that can be aimed on that moment is the individual whose entire life was dedicated to randomness. And that's Bilam. That's what he loved. That was the whole concept of Bilam, is that everything is essentially mikra. And he couldn't stand the attempts to give meaning to things, which really bothered him. It's related very profoundly to Amalek, who he was a Rebbe, really, of the Amalek. But that's the one thing that he didn't like. Remember the Gemara says, he couldn't stand the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be interested in a particular sperm cell. Remember the Gemara says, he says, Mi mispar rova Yisrael. Mi mispar rova Yisrael is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in reproduction. If he was interested in reproduction, you wouldn't need to waste 100 million sperm in order to get one that's useful. So obviously that proves that this is the Gemara. That's the whole concept of carry. It's mikra. It's all randomness. So if reproduction itself, which is the most important thing in the world, is random, and that means that whatever comes out of the world is just sort of a throw of the die, then it's ridiculous to attempt to find order and reason in it. And therefore, he's the one that was aimed on Rega. So the Yodea Da'atel Yon, where do we see this? It says, he's a Yodea Da'atel Yon, he knows the mind of God. Now this idiot didn't know the mind of his own ass. So what do you mean he knows the mind of God? He was trying to figure out what his Chamorah was telling him, right? He can't figure out what he's telling him, because boy, he's going to get him good. And he keeps his donkeys pushing him into the corner. He doesn't know where he's going. So he can't figure out his own animal. But he knows that Yodea Dat Elyon. The guy's got to be out of his mind. When it says Dat Elyon, it's Malamid Shayodea Lechaveno Tasha Asha Kadosh Baruch Hu Ko Ezba. There was something special. He was responsive to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu related to the world. Dat Elyon. And that he knew. This is so serious that it explains why actually Micha takes it so intensely, seriously. Because Micha says, Ami, Zichorna Mayat Balak Melech Moav, remember what it was that Balak had paid for, Umeanauto Bilam ben Baor, Mina Shitimanat Gilgal, Laman Daat Sitkot Hashem. What does it mean, Laman Daat Sitkot Hashem? What was the great thing that I did? You want to know how great I was? Just think about Bilam. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Marlem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. You should know. De'u kama tzedakot asiti imachem. I really went out of my way to be exceedingly and specially nice to you guys. Shelo ka'asti v'mei Bilam HaRasha. The entire time of Bilam HaRasha's life, I did not have this hanhaga of rega at all. She ilmalei ka'asti, because if I had, there would have been nothing left, not a piece left, of the enemies of Israel, which is a euphemism for Klal Yisrael. In other words, he would have successfully destroyed you. And that explains why Bilam is in such a pickle, because, I mean, here he is, he's accepted the job, it's the most embarrassing thing in the world, he's been promised a pile of gold, and he can't deliver the goods, and Balak keeps saying to him, is something wrong with you? Was this like a whole fake out that you were supposed to be able to do this stuff? And he's trying to explain it. He says, Ma'akov lo kava'el, uma ezam lo zam Hashem. Richie, that hand there is the end of you. So if he's saying, well, how am I supposed to get angry when God doesn't get angry? He sensed that there was simply no, all of a sudden everything had changed, and there was nothing that he could latch onto. Which proves that indeed there was no Zam during those times. Now that Kodesh Baruch Hu hadn't been Zoming. Now you see, Kama Zamo, you said Rega. The Kama Rega, and exactly how long in terms of what could he say during that Rega? Well, a Rega is as long as it takes to say a Rega. So Tosfos says, okay, so what kind of curse could you really get into a Rega? I mean, if that's the case, if you're analyzing the time of speech. So Tosfos says, well, maybe you could say, Kaling. It means finish him off. But again, if we learn that Rega, Tosfos suggests, later on we'll see why, that once you start, you know, you can keep going. But as we've already seen, if we're talking about a Sha'at Kaso, which revolves around the Rega, then the knowledge of the Rega can allow you to utilize that time. We no longer rega ratach. How do we know that God's anger is a rega? Shinema ki rega biapo chayim b'ritzono. Or it also says from here, chavi ki ma'at rega ad yavor za'am. So if you hide out for one rega, then the za'am passes. The imat ratach, during what time of the day will this rega come out? Omra Abaya, well, you'll find it during those first 3 hours of the day. Ki chivra karbalta the tarnagula. If you got a chicken, that's the time. What do they call that piece on top there? That ripples again. Comb. Thank you. It's driving me crazy. When the comb of this, the chicken turns whitish, and it stands on one foot. Hey, baby, koshat of a shaitanami kamiyach. I mean, anybody's looked at a chicken yard sees him standing like that all the time. Yeah, but koshat ipe shuriki sumke. Usually you got these, you have red lines at least through the comb. During that moment, all of a sudden, there's no red lines. In other words, it's a duke. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi. Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi also had a neighborhood like Barnea. And there was a tzeduki in that neighborhood. And he used to drive Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi bananas. Always ask him, How about this verse? Does it say something about a virgin having children over there? And how about that verse? Doesn't it say my sheep suffered and all of that stuff? And I would have to sit there arguing with the missionaries all day long. It was driving him crazy. So he decided, okay, that does it. I'm getting rid of this guy. Now, how do you get rid of this guy? It's simple. You tie a rooster to your bed. You wait till it turns that color, and then you blast him with a kind of kalola that Bilam could have said. Here, Tosfos says, so what could he say that quickly? Again, what are you going to say? You know, just, maybe once you start, you know, you keep blasting it. Anyway, you could just imagine the scene. Here's Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. It's early in the morning. He's looking at the rooster over there, you know. It's tied to his bed, and he's ready to blast. Okay. So he's got Shoko Tarnagula Vukmeh Ben Karadars. He ties him between the legs of his bed there. Vayain, but he's staring at this thing. Sova Kimata Ishait. As soon as that minute comes, pow! Alte. Kimata Ishait. I wouldn't you know exactly at that minute he falls asleep. You know what happens when, you know, you're waiting for that particular thing? That's when you fall asleep. Did you ever try listening to the weather report? It's incredible, because as soon as it comes to the temperatures in Yerushalayim, that's it, your mind's somewhere.
Notice.
It's unbelievable. So, okay, so as soon as the moment came, he fell asleep. Apparently, it's not the right thing to blast this guy as if I'm Bilam II. After all, it says God has mercy on all the things that he created. And besides, even if not, it's not a good idea for a tzaddik to go around blasting people. Now, the Maisa Tosfos asks, if this person was really a tzaddiki, then the din is that you're supposed to be moridin velo ma'alin. You're supposed to be getting rid of this guy. Not in a way that you can get caught, but just like, you know, borrowing his life preserver when he's in the middle of the ocean, or taking out the ladder when he's at the bottom of a well. Little things like that. So, or maybe dropping in a bit of blood in shark-infested waters, you know. But that may be a little too active, huh? So the Shaila is sustaisus, so what do we gamanosh, you could say that about every case of Morinia. So if it says over here, we understand that it's not Saduki, and the correct gear says Akum. Okay, you're not supposed to hurt a guy, but this guy is an active enemy. So Tosfos says it could be that the pshat is that there's a difference between using this Bilam type magic, in which you're being matriarch, so to speak, using kochos milamala, and simply taking a ladder up. In other words, it's improper to try to use these various elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoga.
Anti-pulsa
denura, yeah, exactly. That was not to use things that you have a tzivoy. Fine, you do what you can in terms of your tzivoy. If you find the guy at the bottom of a pit, take out the ladder. But that's not to say that you should go and start using these spiritual kaiches to try to get rid of a guy. However, that still leaves us with the question of rachamav akol ma'asav. In other words, are you supposed to have a response of rachamav akol ma'asav where you have a chiyuv to be morid? Right? I mean, that's really strange. So apparently you do. In other words, if you have a chiyuv to have a particular hanhaga, then you have to respond with that chiyuv. But if you don't have that chiyuv, then the way in which you relate to the world has to be a relationship that transcends the particular moment. In other words, it's not if it's my business that this guy is dangerous and needs to be gotten rid of, then that's what I have to do. But if that isn't my business at this point, then the relationship to this individual still goes back to the fact that this is a person, or this is an animal, and so on. That's a call in general. So the hanhaga is one thing, and the way in which you view life is another. The same story is with Rebbe, when the sheep came running to him, right? Now, it's all very nice to say, but you're supposed to be food. You know, but on the other hand, that's why the end of the story is when, you know, Rebbe stops the shivcha from throwing the cats out of the house. Because of Rachamav HaKol Ma'asav. So it's the question of anhaga doesn't change the mode of relationship that you're supposed to have to a thing. So if I'm not killing him, so then I have to recognize Rachamavakol Ma'asav. So they're not going to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhaga to take the place of what I'm supposed to do. His rachamim is even here. Right? So it's don't take that for granted. Because otherwise, his teretz doesn't really make any sense. Furthermore, Gam Enosh Tzadik Lo Tov. It doesn't have to be the tzaddik's business to be the guy that's going to figure out how to get rid of the ones who are making trouble. Tana Mishmeda Rebbe Meir, B'sha'an sha'achama zorachat v'kol malchei mizrach u'ma'arav menichin kitrehem b'roshehem u'mishtachavim l'chama miyad ko'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Truth is that there's a lot to be angry about in the world. So you got all these arrogant people that are running around thinking that they own the world. And this comes a minute in which it gets too much for you, you know? The heck with them. Om Rav Yochan Mishrim Rav Yossi. Tovam mardut achat b'libo shel adam yoter mikama malkiot. You know, the truth is, for a person, just to have a moment of facing up to reality in his own heart, of his own understanding, is worth more than having people beating him over the head. Because the truth is that we find, by Kalal Yisroel, that the way that the Pasuk defines the response of Yisroel finally to do tshuva is it says, so okay, ritfa et ma'aveh avalot asigotam. Kalal Yisroel runs after her lovers, so to speak, all of the various alien philosophies and umos that she was interested in all the years. Uvikashtan alotim tsa, she's going to look around, but she won't find them. So what happens? V'amra elchav yashuv elishi arishav. Let me go back to my first husband. He totally asked me, I thought things were better then than they are now. That makes a difference. That's something that you arrive at of your own. But all of the punishments and the Goliaths and so on, that didn't make any nafkamina. Resh Lakish Omer, don't just say, Mikama Malkiot. It's better even than Mea Malkiot. Shlema Teichat Gyara Bemevin Mehakot Ksil Mea. That one yara, one rebuke, the power of that one rebuke to an intelligent person is worth more than 100 beatings of a fool. So in your own mind, the recognition of the truth of a thing, finally, is worth more than anything else which is just externalized. I think that the point over here is the way the Gemara is understanding it is the Mevin and the Ksil is the same person. In other words, the mevin is the element of the person is mardus achat b'libo shel adam. The lev is the mevin. Whereas what happens outside in the way a person's personality develops is usually in the fool. So in terms of that personality, somebody hits you, you hit him back. But when you're talking about the mevin element of a person, then he's responsive. V'yom Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Yossi. Again, these are all my morim of Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Yossi. However, the thread of the entire daf, as I pointed out, is generated by the fact that a mokum tefila, which was yesterday's daf, the whole daf was mokum tefila, based tefila, that a based tefila is actually nogea hashras hashchina, and that there's such a thing as beit tefilati in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu davened, and therefore we get to discuss the entire hanhogas Hashem with the world, and we know where the primary place where that is. We have the Yud Gimel Midas. We have Moshe Rabbeinu essentially asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you please explain the way this thing is working as it don't make sense to me? And then that's where we really talk about Anogazim. You have the whole Tomer Dvorah analyzing those Yud Gimel Midos in terms of how they fit into the other expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anoga in the Yoyla. So Shlosha Dvarim Bikesh Moshem Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'natam Lo. There were three special things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked by Moshe and he granted them to Moshe. Originally, God didn't want to go with Klal Yisrael. Now, this doesn't seem to have anything to do with the daf, except for one little coincidence. The reason he didn't want to go with Yisrael is because rega echad bechiliticha. If I get mad for a rega, you're done for. So Moshe Rabbeinu now is mispalel. He's mispalel that Shechina should be shor on Yisrael, which doesn't seem to address the rega, But nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him. But then, Bikesh Shelo Tishrei Shechina Lo Tikachavi, which of course was the end of Bilam. And that does address the Rega, right? V'natanlo. Shenema v'niflidu ani ve'amcha. And then, Bikesh Shelo Diod Rachav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wanted to know the way that God runs the world. What is his Midas HaMishpat? V'natanlo, and he gave that to him. Shenema hodieni na et rachecha. Can you explain to me, so the whole thing is just random. Amarlo, Moshe, come on. I mean, there's all types of consideration here. No, I mean, maybe a tzaddik v'tovlo might be the tzaddik who's a ben tzaddik, of course, of his forefathers. A tzaddik v'ralo might be paying for the sins of his forefathers. Maybe he's a tzaddik ben Rasha. And a Rasha v'tovlo, maybe the tovlo is because his father was a tzaddik. He's a Rasha ben tzaddik. Rasha v'ralo means he's a Rasha ben Rasha. Wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Tzaddik v'tovlo, tzaddik ben tzaddik, tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik ben Rasha, that's not true. V'aktiv doesn't say in the pasuk, on the one hand, poked avon avot al banim, uktiv u'banim lo yumtu al avot. Now, this is not a contradiction. On the one hand, it says God punishes the children for the sins of the fathers. And on the other hand, it says, God will not have children dying because of their father's sins. So, I mean, in Korea, we point out this contradiction elsewhere. You know the Teretz. Ha'kishol chazin ma'asei avoteihem b'yadeihem. Ve'ha'kishen ha'chazin ma'asei avoteihem b'yadeihem. So, it depends, basically, on the way that the child acts. If the child continues and builds on the acts of his father, so then he is essentially now the heir of that Hanhaga. So if his father was a Rasha and he takes that Rishas and builds on it further, then there is an inyan of following the sins of the father. But if he's not being Ochez Maasei Avotav B'Yadav, he's a tzaddik. So you tell me because his father was a Rasha, therefore bad things will happen to him, it's ridiculous. He is basically a tzaddik. Forget about the fact that his father was a Rasha. So does that make sense? Therefore you can't give me the answer that that's why you have a tzaddik v'ralo, because his father was a Rasha. If he's a tzaddik, you couldn't have tzaddik v'ralo. Are you convinced this is a good answer? A good question?
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. In other words, we've shown that the Gemara's answer is a bad answer. No. You've been prejudiced by the way that the question was phrased. If you take for granted, look, do we still agree that there's a difference between a tzaddik ben tzaddik and a tzaddik ben Rasha? Because, I mean, the Rasha who is mavzik the way his father is going to get punished for his father. So why can't that be the Rasha of Aralo? And the Rasha of Etovlo is, despite the fact that he's a Rasha, maybe it isn't that level of Rishas where he has the father and vice versa. Who says we're looking for an excuse of why things are bad for the tzaddik and they say, well, it couldn't be bad for the tzaddik because of the father. You're right. Maybe things in general can be bad for a tzaddik, so... That wasn't your question. Your question is, why is it random? And I'm answering you. It's not random. What's the Gemara being deichadis for? Understand the problem? It's a long pashut. What do you say, Rich? You're with Moshe on this one. But that's not the issue here. He wasn't looking. He never asked, why is it that a tzaddik should get... Obviously, everybody does something wrong in their life. So I'm saying, if that's a given, so then what's your problem? It's not because of the Rasha. It's Adarab. If the father is a tzaddik, maybe it could be Megin. Is it tzaddik ben tzaddik? So clearly there is some type of anhaga of avon avot al banim and vice versa, right? The chesed al of dor and so on.
Maybe the difference is because the ikar sahar is bottom of us. What happens in this world?
So why did you just say that?
Why in this world is not?
So why did you just say that? That's the simple answer. You just say, actually, there is someone who learned that that's the crime, but later. But Why did you just say that? That Tzadik Viralo is the one who is going to be Nishlam. Obviously, we're including that in the question. I mean, so why would we randomly decide? It's clearly random. You can't show me a statistical correlation between what it is, the type of thing that the person does, and where it's going to be. You're not going to figure it out. His extended problem.
He saw Mikra.
Yeah, but that's different over there because he saw it violate the etzem fact of Arichas Yamim. Okay, that's a different issue. You have to discuss Arichas Yamim. But over here, I mean, he's including that in the question, Lechore. Anyway, so was there another approach? Elohi Kamali. Maybe he told him like this. Maybe he said to him, Tzadik v'tovlo, that's a Tzadik Gamur. By the way, you should know Tzadik ben Tzadik and Tzadik ben Rasha and so on in the Zohar is a reference to Gilgulit, not the father. So it's one of their elements of where a person's previous Gilgul has to do with the way that his Don Harga Shemayim is to him. Elok Gomorle, Tzadik v'tovlo, maybe that's a Tzadik Gomor. So why should he suffer? I thought we said before there's Yisurim Shalava. Anyways, what happened to that whole sugya? This Gemara sure doesn't seem to be really trying to provide any serious solutions to things, or even serious questions. Tzadik Viralo, maybe he's a Tzadik Sheino Gomor. Rasha Vitoblo is a Rasha Sheino Gomor. Rasha Viralo, Rasha Gomor. Now the truth is that this whole approach to trying to give an answer that Moshe, that we claim that Moshe was given an answer, is not a Liba de Rebbe Meir. It's pliga to Rebbe Meir. Don't Rebbe Meir shtayim nitnulo. Yes, two out of his three questions, the v'niflinu ani ve'amcha, that v'ani chosilach, and I'll take you into Eretz Yisrael. Yes, that yes, but not the third one. And we know that he was not given achad lo nitnulo, and I'll prove it to you. It says in the pasuk v'chanoti that God's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's problem of randomness is. There's people I like and people I don't like. I mean, that sounds about as random as it could possibly be. So it certainly didn't give any clues to Moshe. It says, as Rashi says, what's your problem? Why? Because I like him. So if that's the case, the whole question then wouldn't arise. What did he tell him? He didn't tell him. Vayomer lo tuchal lirot et panai. Adarava, his response to Moshe is, you will not be able to understand that. Are you really going to ask from one, do you know how complex this thing is? You can ask me for one Gemara. Taner di bishmeid rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Kach amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe was like this. Listen, Moshe, I'm really fascinated by the fact that you'd like to know. But I once wanted to tell you. And that was back at the snare. So what did you do when I exposed myself to you? You turned away. Okay? So kisharatziti, I wanted. Lo ratzita, you didn't want. Achshav shata rotza, now you want. Okay, now I don't want. So therefore...
Is that when he said, yeah?
Yeah, that's one of the Shemas Hashem.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. So is that kind of the same thing, no?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's afterwards, after he turns away, no? So kisharatziti lo ratzita, achshav shata rotze, eini rotze. Upliga de Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Yom Reb Yonatan, the Yom Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni Yom Reb Yonatan, this approach of Reb Yeshua ben Korcha, that Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong in turning aside, is the opposite of Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni's approach. Because Domer Shuvanak Meni Omer Yonatan Bishar Shalosh Zachala Shalosh. Because of three responses that Moshe Rabbeinu had at the snare, he was zocher to three very special things later in life. Bishar Vayaster Moshe Panav Zachala Klaster Panim. Later on in his life, he was zocher to that shine, and that was because he didn't want to take advantage of seeing what was beyond him. Bishar Kiyare Zachala Vir Umigeshet Elav. Everyone was feared him the way that he feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bishar mehabit, he didn't want to stare, zachal tmunat Hashem yabit. So obviously he was doing the right thing. Couldn't possibly be, as Rabbi Yeshua was claiming, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at him for not taking advantage and for spurning the offer, so to speak. I was ready to tell you everything, then you didn't want to know. So now it's convenient for you. Now you're curious. Now you think you can handle it. Well, you know what? I don't think so. So, okay, that's really two completely different approaches. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to uncover you, in other words, because up until that point we had, he was in the Nikrat HaTzur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting him. But here, HaSiroti et Kapiv v'ra'it et Acharai. After I pass by, you'll be able to look at me from behind. Ufanai lo yera'u. But you will not be able to see my face. Omar Reb Chana Bar Bizon Reb Shimon Chasida Malami Cheherei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Kesher Shal Tefilin. So in other words, this now is Mechaber as the sugya earlier, in which we saw that the Kesher Shal Tefilin, the Tefilin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oz, and that is a way in which it's possible to be omed on his Hanoga. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see was that Kesher. And that to understand, by the way, there's a Kabbalistically, panai lo yera'u, you'll never be able to figure out how I'm going to respond. But v'ra'it et achorai, you'll be able to understand how I responded. Which is, in fact, so true about the nature of life. In retrospect, after a lot of time, things begin to make sense. But you'll never, ever be able to predict anything. You can be the biggest chacham in the world, as Shlomo HaMelech says. You know, and there's nobody going to tell you where that tree is going to fall. So that's the remez in V'ra'it et Acharai. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi. Furthermore, kol dibur v'dibur shiyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tova afilo atznai lo chazar bo. Anything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, even when it was conditional, he never changed it, because he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Heret b'meni v'ashmi deim v'eseot chalagoy atzum." He tells Moshe, look, if you leave me alone, then I'll turn you into a great nation after I destroy the rest of these idiots. So Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, didn't allow that to happen, and he said that, "Mecheni no misifra chasher katafta." Nonetheless, Apagad debo Moshe rachmi aladum yosu bitla. Even though Moshe was mevakish rachmin to be mevato that gzer against Israel, the Haftacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's going to turn Moshe into a Goy Gadol, is nonetheless, in history, is kept. Afilohi ukma bizarre. That Haftacha stood for Moshe's children. Shinema b'nei Moshe Gershom ve'Eliezer, ve'yu b'nei Eliezer Rechavya HaRosh, and this Rechavya was the only son that he had, v'lohaya le'Eliezer b'nei Machirim, u'v'nei Rechavya robu le'ma'ala. What do you mean? Robu lemaala. Lemaala from what? Tani Rav Yossi, lemaala mishishim riba. Because we learned that out, revia, tibacha, robu lemaala. Here it says by Rechavia, of course that's the lashon of Rechavia, is that they were robu, and it says, uvnei Yisroel, poru v'yishtu vayirbu, just like over there, vayirbu ma'od ma'od. The result of that it was a nation of 600,000. So too, the b'nei Rechavia were in fact a haftach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Eseot Chalugayatzum. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself ended up with 600,000 descendants from B'nai Rechav.
How many doors?
It doesn't say. It doesn't say whether it's Nogad at this time at all. It might be it hasn't happened yet. It's saying that ultimately these were his descendants. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Miyom bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et ha'olam, lo haya adam shekara'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu adon ad sheba Avraham. Now again, we are talking about of your hanhagot Hashem. Obviously the various shemot Hashem are central. And we started the daf with a shem. And now we're going to discuss the concept of shemot, and who gave shemot, and who was omed on these hanhagot. And clearly the implication of the Gemara is that the discovery of the shame is a creation of that anhaga. In other words, if an Adam cannot respond to that anhaga, then there's no presence of that anhaga. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Abram, you know, that you made me Elohei Aretz. Before you, I was only Elohei HaShemayim. So we say, Elohei HaShemayim, Elohei Aretz. Or we had the Gemara before. Et HaShem HaMircha Hayom. HaMircha Hayom. As the Gemara said, right? So here we need to recognize the development of Yisrael and the perception of these various shemites. So the first one that called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon was Abraham. The Koro Adon, he came along and he was Omid on the Shinemar. It says about Abraham, Vayomar Adonai, that's the first time that we find that. Elohim, Bama Edaki Irashena. So Rashi points out, what do you mean? We have way back at the time of Noah. There it says Baruch, except it uses the shame of Yudke Vovke, Elohe Shame. Rashi says, that's the whole point. Yes, that shame, fine, but never the shame of Adonai. That was never found. So this has created the concept of Adnut in the world. That there's mastery, that our relationship to God is the way one would relate to someone who actually has Baalut. That is something that Avraham Avinu, that's Konan. Konei Shamayim Baaretz. Right? This is the way he reckons. Kinyan is Baalut, which is makes you the Adon. Omer Rav, Avda Niolo Na'ana, Elo Bishvil Avraham. This Anhaga lasted for millennia. Shemar, V'yata Shema Elohino El Tfilat Avdecha Ve'el Tachununav, V'ayar Panecha Migdashecha Hashamein L'ma'an Adonai. Now that's really weird. You're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you should say L'ma'an Cha? What are you saying? L'ma'an, then you use a shame. I mean, well, why am I talking to you? L'ma'an Cha mi boile. Why didn't he say L'ma'an Cha? Eleleman Avraham Shikara Achadon. In other words, the Mokom Amigdash, where Avraham Avinu was the one who first came, Vayart HaMokom Mirachok, the Kayach of that came from his recognition of Adnut, and even though there was no Beit HaMikdash, there's still that power of the Hakor and Hanhoga for which Daniel is being Mavakish Rachamim for our Espanim on the Beit HaMikdash. We had exactly the same mimer earlier, except there was Rabbi Yossi. And it was from Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin shem ratzim lo la'adam b'sha'at kaso. Shema panayin leichu v'anechoti lach. Zlach says that Rabbi Yochanan learned by both. And therefore, since he had been mekabel separately, this mimer from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yossi bar Bizna, so he mentions both of them. Mentions the mimer separately from each one. Where else would we do this besides a daf like this? Where the way in which your perception of the world is overall is a definition of what you're saying. So when Rav Shimon bar Yochai says it, it means one thing, and Rav Yossi says it means something else. I have to say it over both of their names. The Omer Rav Yochanan, another mimer of Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Miyom shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu et olamo lo haya adam shehoda HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad shebata Leah v'hodato. There was no one who had given hoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until Leah came around. Shema ha-pa'am hodat Hashem. What is ha-pa'am? In other words, this is the first time in history that has happened. Not just in my life. So that concept of hoda then derives from Leah, which of course creates Yehuda, and from Yehuda we have all of the elements of Hodah in the world, including David HaMelech and so on, we'll see later on. Reuven. What's the meaning of the name Reuven? Omar Rabbi Elazar Amra Le'ah Reuma Bein Bini Le'ben Chami. Look at the difference between the way my son will be and the son of my mother-in-law, in other words, Esav. The Ilu Ben Chami Esav Arasha. Even though he sold the Bechora out of his own free will. Look at the way that he acted about it. Look at the Torah's meid on him. He hated him. Blamed him for what he himself had done. Saying, that slob. Even though Yosef ended up taking the Bechorah, essentially, and he became Ephraim Umanashe, and he took it away from him without his selling it or wanting to get rid of it, we find out later, in retrospect, in Dibre Hayomi, that even though Vnei Reuven Bechor Yisrael, and it says Beferish over the Ki Hu HaBechor, Reuven Ki Hu HaBechor, he was the Bechor, was meant to be the Bechor. Then it says, Ubechalalo Yitzray Aviv, he went ahead and did what he did over there, then it's not Bechorotol of Yosef. So that That was something that certainly he didn't want. Nonetheless, afilo achi lo akna be, he never took it out on Yosef, and that was never an issue. And on the contrary, he was the one that attempted to save Yosef. Dechtiv vayishmar uvein vayatzileu miyadam.
Even though the end, Yaakov, you know, in his mitzvah, Shas mitzvah, he said, Ruben b'chori ata, Ruben, his father.
But there too it means, you were meant to be my b'chor, reishis oni, but nonetheless, pachas kamayim al totar, you will not get that yoteret midah. Root, so what's the name root? My root, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, shezachta v'yatza mimena David, shirivahu l'akadosh baruch hu b'shirot v'tishpachot. Out of her came the rivayon, they show this on in the ads for Sprite. You know, you get that sense of the bubbles and the, you know, you got to watch TV for that. You know, and there's ice and it's. What is that rivayon? What's that sense of real satisfaction of a drink? Only roots could do that, and that comes from the anhaga of the bubbling shiras v'tishbachos that up until the time of David. Tefillah, imagine what tefillah would be without the elites.
Root beer.
And a 90%. Barnea. Come on, I mean.
Root.
He outdid you with that one.
Root beer, Barnea. Root.
Barnea didn't like it. In any event, imagine tefillah without tehillim. That's a. It's not just an addition. In terms of Anhogas Ha'elon, David is called Tefillah, Ni Tefillah. He was the one who was Beyaseid. All of our relationship to Tefillah, he shows us what it's like for an individual to be Aimed Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Tefillah. We listen into his Tefillah sometimes. So he was the one that was Merava in these issues. Minolan
D'Shmoko Gar. Merava? What is it?
It's Sprite. That's what I mean. What do you think? You think Stam might be
revitalizing?
No, Revaya means the full satisfaction of satiation in drink.
Revaya?
Not said. It's word? Satiation, but it's different than Sevilla.
Oversaturation?
No. There's a satiation that comes from drinking. You'll notice that Shvuas is Sova, mm-hmm. which is filling, mm-hmm. but that's for food. There's no sova in drink per se, but there's revoya in drink. Rus's element in the shvuas is sova, is revoya. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. But what you can do is you can come shvuas night. We have an all night shir on the
issue. Really?
Yeah, it's fun. Marachayim. And you can even bring your wife. You're at Sashem. You need to be zecher to get to that point. So how do we know, says Rebbe Eliezer, how do we know that names have any meaning and actually cause? I mean, to talk about Reuven, it's in terms of the future. Reu ma ben. I mean, what's she talking about? I mean, we're defining a person before it ever happens. So apparently there's some relationship in exactly the same way. Do you realize what I'm giving you? I don't think you have any idea. You think this is just a daf yom. Chaval. All right. But how do we? I don't think it will help. I'm giving you revoyoy. Cough is not going to help. Okay, so how do we know, the same way that we have now the inyanim of the Shemais on the daf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which that construct has now the mokum of behavior, how do we know that the name of a human being is an equivalent construct that allows the world and his life to develop along that name? By the way, Tolkien writes that when he was writing The Lord of the Rings, all of his work was only to give the name. Having given the name, the story wrote itself. This is exactly this idea. So how do we know that a shame defines the concept? Because it says, L'chu chazu mifalot Hashem. Look and see that which God has achieved in the world. Asher sam shamot ba'aretz, who has set areas of destruction on earth, out to create shamot el shemot. The way it says, he set names, and that's his mifal. That's the, we say today, mifal chayav, so to speak, of a person. That's his uvra. So this is the mifalot Hashem, the names, and that's everything. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, kashet tarbut ra'ah b'toch beito shel adam yoter mi milchemet Gog u'Magog. You know, it's worse having a problem in your family than Gog and Magog. You know, everybody thinks, oh, that's as bad as you can get. Milchamas Gog and Magog. I mean, it's horrible. But we see that when it comes to David HaMelech's response to running away from Avshalom, so it says, Mizmor leDavid b'Borcho b'Bnei Avshalom b'No, and continues in the Tehillah to say, Hashem morabu tzarai, I'm in terrible tzaras, rabim kamim alai. And then he goes and he talks about Milchemet Gog u'Magog, and, you know, it's no big deal when it comes to Milchemet Gog u'Magog. There he says, Lama rokshu goyim, ulumim yehagurik. He doesn't say anything about marabu tzarai. Now these are two tehillahs, one next to the other. Milchemet Gog u'Magog is no marabu tzarai. And then he goes right in and starts saying, all right, marabu tzarai. I got a kid who's making me crazy. So you see that a kid making you crazy is worse than Milchemet Gog u'Magog. Mizmor leDavid b'Borcho mipnei Avshalom b'no. Mizmor leDavid. I mean, we shouldn't say Kina leDavid. I mean, it's a pretty miserable. But you're singing about the fact that you're running away from Avshalom. And of course, speaking about the daf in which a name is important, Omer Reb Shimon ben Avishalom, Mashal lema davar domeh, l'adam sheyatza alav shtar chov. Here's a guy that is expecting a bill from the IRS, and he's miserable because you never know. You just never know. So kodem sheparo hayatzi, before he had to pay the bill, he's miserable. He gets the bill, he pays the bills. You think he pays the bill, he's even more unhappy. No, he's relieved. It's behind me. The heck with it, it's over. I'm not going to think about it anymore. So over a year or two. Hu told him after the whole story, Batsheva, you're going to have problems out of your own home. He was worried about this all the years. Shema Ebed, or Mamzer, who God only knows. I mean, maybe there'll be somebody who will have no rachamim on me. The Lo Chayes Olai. Kivan de Chazad Avshalom, who after he saw it's Avshalom, Samach. Then he was happy, because he figured, the son, Sof Kol Sof, will have some kind of feelings for his dad. Mishum Hachi Amar Mizmor. And therefore he said, Mizmor leDavid. Now you'll ask, I mean, you couldn't get much more rotten than Avshalom, who was ready. I mean, like, what didn't he do to his father? I saw him shunadik, a beautiful pshat, absolutely stunning. There's no question that it's pashat emes lamitay. I don't remember who it was. Terrible. Speaking of shemot, but he says the most amazing thing. The fact that Avshalom accepted the advice of Hushi Aharki against Achitophel was because deep down he wanted his father to escape. He knew that Achitophel was right.
He sensed it.
And there's no other explanation for it. There had to be some mokum in which you can give a reasonable sense of what was going on. He didn't want his father to be caught and killed. So he's listening to Achitophel, he knows Achitophel. Go get him now, there's no way he's going to survive it. And it hurts, no way he's going to survive it, can't we give him like a little chance, you know? So when Hushi comes up with this other idea, he takes it. Because of that, David HaMelech was able to be Malim from Ghana. Because he maintained that relationship. So in that relationship, the Avshalom Bini, why was he saying Bini? Because I'm alive, because he was my son. So that relates back to the Mizmor leDavid, and he was Meister Nafshai for being my son. And that's the Avshalom Bini. It's such a beautiful shot.
I mean,
no.
I think it was George Lucas.
Astounding. One of the finest I've ever seen in a Sunday like that.
Can we learn from the fact that the Maamar said Ben Avishalom? Something as opposed to Avshalom, right?
Yeah. Sure. Of course. Well, this beautiful, I thought it was a beautiful mimer. It's actually a whole book by Reuven Margolius, who brings hundreds of examples of where the Mandiomer and the Gemara is adjusted, I'll be the sugya, to match what it is that he's saying. Mutar lehitgarot v'rasha'im ba'olam hazeh. Now this, of course, relates to both of the sugyas that we had before and puts them together. We were talking before about gamenosha tzadik lo tov and so on and so forth. In other words, how is a tzadik supposed to respond in taking the place of God, so to speak, in the world? And then we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own anhaga, which appears to be random and leaving Rishayim around and so on. So here, the question is, can a tzaddik start up with a rasha? Can he say, okay, I can't tolerate it, I'm going to do something? Says Reb Shimon Bar Yochai here, another maimer quoted by Reb Yochanan, mutar l'itgarot b'rishayim ba'olam hazeh, you can start up with them. Shema ozvei Torah yahalalu resha, v'shomrei Torah yitgaru bam. They may sing the praises of evil, but those who are shomer Torah, they can go and challenge them. Tanya nami achi, Rabbi Dustoy bar Rabbi Maton omer, mutar lehitgarot b'rishayim ba'olam hazeh, shema ozvei Torah yahalalu resha, v'im lakshecha adam lomar, if somebody whispers in your ears and says, now wait a minute, don't be such a kanoi. Don't start up with evildoers. And don't compete with evildoers. And don't be mekane. Don't be a kanoi against osei avla. And Marlo, tell that guy to his face, Mishalo libono kvo merken. It's a guy who doesn't have guts and who doesn't trust his own tzidkus. He's the guy who's saying that. Because the meaning of that pasuk is al titchar bimreim. Don't compete with evildoers. Doesn't mean don't compete with them against them. It means don't compete with them in what they're doing. Because every kanoi has got a little bit of jealousy. You know, gosh, he gets to do so many fun things, you know. So let me wipe him out. You know. But he presents himself as a kanoi. He's really mekane. So al tischar bimreim means don't compete with them. Al tikanei b'osei avla means don't be jealous of osei avla. Meaning liyot ki osei avla, to act the way you do that. They do. Like it says, don't be jealous of sin. You want to be jealous of something, be jealous of the people who achieve Yirat Hashem. And wait a minute, but this isn't true. Didn't Reb Yitzchak say, Imra ita rasha sha'asha'am esachekit lo, al titgarebo. He says, don't start up with a rasha. Because the pasuk says, Yachilu drachav b'chol eit. That Russia is always successful. It's amazing. You see these horrific people. They're the most successful people on earth. It's almost a joke. The worse they are, the more successful they're going to be. So Yachil Drachav B'cholet, the guy makes it all the time. Below, oh, so you figure, okay, you know what? I'll drag him into court. I'll bring him to Beis Din. Guess who wins?
You lose.
Zoche b'din. He ends up winning. He'll always win. Shenemar morem mishpatecha minegdo. The mishpat Hashemayim is way, way above him. Nothing to do with him.
Is this a Russia with
Tokyo? Well, it certainly relates to that, sir, you know. Velo od elashuro ebitzarab. Not only that, but he ends up seeing the collapse of those that are against him. Shinamar Kolt Soraravya Fiach Behem. He blows all of his enemies away, just blows them away. So how do you explain that? Well, Lokash, Abimili Gudei, Abimili Ishmael. We could say that here it's talking about on a personal level. You got this Russia, you want to go fight him. Because you need something, and he's done something to you. No, you're not going to win. Forget it, don't start up with it. But if the question is over here, he's going out to hurt Klal Yisrael, or he's doing Averis, whatever, and you want to make a stand, you can make a stand. V'bayi teba, or you know what, maybe you can't make a stand. Maybe Hava Hava Mila Shemaya, maybe indeed both are talking about, even in terms of mitzvahs and so on. V'lo kasha, all it says over here is, Reb Yitzchak says, a Rosh Hashasha am is a cheket lo. When things are going good for a Rosh, don't start. Okay, that's different. That's a Rosh Hashasha am is a cheket lo. And I'm talking about, when I said you can start up with Rishayim, that's just a normal Rosh. Rosh Hashayim Hashayim Mesacheket Lo. The Ibai Deima, or you know what, maybe even both cases are talking about a Rosh Hashayim Mesacheket Lo. And both cases are talking about even vis-a-vis Shambayim. And nonetheless, a Tzadik She'eno Gamur, look how interwound the two sugyas are, a Tzadik She'eno Gamur shouldn't start up with a Rasha. And a Tzadik Gomer can start up even the Rasha Shasha Mesachet Law. The Yomar Ravuna Maidich Tiv, notice the Diak in the Pasuk. Ravuna points out, what is the meaning of the pasuk that says, Lama tabit bogdim, tacharish bivallah rasha tzadik bimenu? Why do you sit there and look, O Lord, when a rasha swallows up the man who is more righteous than he is? Notice that it says, and wait a second, rasha bolea tzadik? Is that really true? A rasha can just swallow up a tzadik like nothing? Doesn't it say Hashem lo yatzes sofer rashav tzadik bevakesh hamito? Hashem lo yazvenu biyado. And it says lo yonel tzadik kol aven. You're saying bivlo rasha tzadik. A rasha just swallow. So look carefully at the words. It says bivlo rasha tzadik mimenu. Someone who relative to him is a tzadik, he can swallow. Someone who is objectively a tzadik, he can't swallow. Those are two different issues. Don't start up with a guy because you're better than he is. Because that doesn't make any difference. Are you perfect? You're not perfect? Don't start up. So that's the pshat. Tzadik gomor eino boleya. Or, could be, vibay deima, sha'a misacheket lo shayni. Now this is very strange because we already took into consideration sha'a misacheket lo. So what are we going back on sha'a misacheket lo? There's some, actually, what a strange coincidence. Reuven Margolius is the one who has the suggestion that sha'a misacheket lo over here means a tzaddik shasham is a chekatam. It's just very far-fetched. And in fact, the tzaddik points out that it never uses the word misacheket for a tzaddik. It uses omedet. Always. To laugh is a reference to resha. Okay, so, you know, your luck is smiling on you, but it's just, you know, it's just a passing smile. So somewhere in the pshat is like this. Before we were talking about a rasha, shasha misacheket lo. That means an individual who is a bar mazel. There's a certain type of people that they just, they're successful people. It's not at a particular time. Over here we're talking about a person, shasha misacheket lo. He's in a moment of great success. Don't try to attack him at that moment. We're not talking about the element of, in fact, in general, this is a successful person. That was the sugi we talked about at the beginning. Continuing now to show the interrelationship of these two sugyas, kola kovea makom letvilato, which we talked about yesterday in terms of Elohei Abraham be'ezro, who we now see as the moker of the hanhog of having a mokom hamigdash and a simcha, a power of a mikdash hashamim leman adoshem, that idea. Here we take it further. Somebody has a mokum that's kavua, oivav noflim tachtav. If you're talking about the idea of your power of hanhoga in the world, you also gain the power to fight. Your enemies will fall before you. Shenemar besamti mokum leami Yisrael. Unetati v'shachin tachtav v'lo yirgaz od. So, in building a Beit HaMikdash, those vicious people will no longer be able to torture my people the way they used to. Why? Because with something makom, there will be a makom kavua. Wait a minute. Ravuna points out a contradiction. The same pasuk that occurs here in Shmuel occurs word for word in Divrei Hayomim, but with one change. Instead of saying lo yachud b'nei avla la'anoto, it says b'nei avla l'chaloto. I mean, what's the pshat? Will the mokom prevent b'nei avla from hurting, or will it only prevent them from completely destroying, but they will still be able to hurt? Which one is true? And he answered, b'tchila la'anoto. That at the beginning over there was talking about the binyan of the Beit HaMikdash. Indeed, it would prevent even from pain. Ulubisov, but after all of the chatoyim and generations of having a Beit HaMikdash and not being able to use it properly, then it's only l'chaloto. It could prevent the destruction of Yisrael, but not prevent the pain. All right, I suppose we'll have to end here. It's getting a little late.